suddenly they were accosted by a talking frog. This is not something that happens to one every day, you know, so they were surprised that that this frog was talking to them, and they paid pretty close attention to it. And so the frog said, "Psst, lean down and I'll whisper in your ear." And so indeed, one of the young ladies leans down, whispers in the frog's ear, and the frog says, "Confidentially, I'm not really a talking frog, you know. I was just temporarily changed into one. And if you'll kiss me right here on my green pimpled little nose, I'll turn back into what I really am, which is I'm a pretty fair professional flat-picking guitar player. And you and I will ride off through life together. Won't that be nice?" So the young lady picks the frog up, puts it firmly in her purse, and zips the top. And the other young lady says, as they walk off down the lane, "Aren't you going to kiss him?" She says, "Oh no, he's worth much more as a talking frog." That is to make up for all of the banjo jokes that we're going to tell later. That's a joke that's flat picking. What's happening in the world of flat picking music? What questions do you have? One of the things that we come qualified with, Jody and I, is opinions about things, you know? I don't know if we have information, but by God, have I got a lot of opinions about things, and I'd be happy to share any of those with you. It is, I will say that I hope the workshop, even though it's short today, will extend out to the rest of the time on the festival, because most of the professional players I know are really glad to help non-professionals, or people who are just getting started, or people who need to help get unstuck, or for whatever other reason could use a little help in their playing, and I'm certainly one of those. When I was a little kid, I was snubbed by some adults who knew how to play a banjo or a guitar and didn't want to show me any of their information, and I swore that I would never be one of those, you know. So, I'm not one of them. I don't have any information about how to play a banjo. And if I do, I'm happy to share it, and that's not just in a workshop, that's any time. I really mean that. So, it may be that we'll run out of time here today. My band has to play immediately after this thing is over, so I've kind of got to jump away, but I'll be happy to answer, and I'm sure Jody will, any questions that I can here. And later, we're going to be sort of around. Our band rings in the midnight hour tonight, and we're playing at 4:30 and sort of 11:30, so I'll have a little time in between, you know, to while away the golden hours talking guitar trash, and that would be nice. So, questions? Yes, sir. Let's ask Jody that first, and then I'll...
You can ask you.
Well, I know, but it's a question for the panel.
Okay. All right, this is a Martin 121, size 1 guitar, made in the 19th century, sometime in the 1860s. I don't know how it's sounding at the present. When I play again, I'd like to have some monitors, actually, when I play solo. I feel a disadvantage without the wires. It has a very clear, penetrating sound. It doesn't have, it's not the kind of guitar to drive a bluegrass band, because it doesn't have a big boomy sound, but it's a tremendously penetrating and punchy instrument. I use silk and bronze strings on it. It used to be a lot of different companies made them. They're like silk and steel strings, but with a phosphor bronze or brass occasional winding on them. I use, GHS makes a set, and I use the 4 wound strings that way, and I use trebles 11 and 14 D'Addario, because their steel sounds better on this guitar. It's a very, very sensitive, responsive guitar with a big variety of tone color. My action is fairly high, but the strings are light gauge, so it's quite necessary. If it was low, it would just buzz like crazy. I use this kind of shape, teardrop shape pick, medium heavy gauge. This one is from the folk store in Seattle. Fender used to make these, and Stu Herrick is a bluegrass man, the wind player, runs a store. He made up, I don't know how many hundreds of these. Somebody gave me a drawer full for my birthday. I've been using them ever since. If I play a dreadnought guitar, I use a much larger, on a triangle pick, heavy as I can possibly get it, but not on this guitar. That's all I can think of, is unless there's anything else about setup.
Do you
love your guitar?
Do I love my guitar? Yeah.
I wouldn't say he loves it, but those pillow marks on his cheek in the morning have got a sound hole shape to them.
I got it in an antique shop in West Nottingham, New Hampshire, in 1960, and it was busted up with cracks all around it and the bridge dangling from it, and the fellow wanted $15 for it. My father bargained down to $12. Right?
Wouldn't want to overdo these things. So.
I was hiding under the car.
Well, my answer to setup questions is briefly medium gauge strings for a large bodied steel string guitar like this. I like the D'Addario J19s that have got a 1/1000th thinner unwound strings. I like the slightly thinner strings because I like it to sound like I'm punishing them more, you know. I want them to bend and scream and cry for mercy when playing hard on them. Instead of me screaming for mercy from the pain in my fingers of the 13 and the 17 that's on the normal medium gauge. But
they
anyway,
make a sweeter chord, I think.
Yeah.
One gauge lighter, really chord sweeter.
Yeah, I like it. Secondly, action. I like it. I like to get it low enough so that if I play really hard, it actually snaps against the frets, sort of like the flamenco guitar idea. I can be able to play it fairly hard without it doing that, but it's nice once in a while if you really want to. If you want a sort of macho stroke on the guitar, to be able to rattle against the frets, it's a legitimate thing to do, and so I'm pretty persnickety about getting it just to that right height. And all of those things are mostly what you get used to, I think. So it's a good idea to get your guitar set up pretty well that seems acceptable, and then stop tinkering with it. And that's also good advice with your right hand. I spend a lot of time in workshops talking to people about how to hold the pick, but and I'd be happy to do that a little bit today, but there is no right answer to that. The truth is that the right answer is the one that you just make yourself make work, because none of them is going to feel right when you first do it. So the most important thing is to get a kind of consistent approach to setup and right hand and start focusing on the music. Guitar players have a way of evading the hard issue of how am I going to make myself play this music better by saying, oh gosh, if I could only figure out how to hold the pick right, or if I could only get my guitar set up right, then it would work better. But of course, that's an evasion, basically. And all of that stuff we have to figure out to get a consistent approach to, one that works for you, and then kind of memorize what it's like, so that if it changes, you'll know, and you'll recognize that, and you can get your adjustment person or you yourself to do the adjustment and get it back where it belongs. It's good to pay attention to it that way, and then realize that how it's adjusted is not the problem. You know, the problem is, am I going to discipline myself enough to make this approach work? And so get a consistent set of strings, one that you can live with, and then stay with it. Don't tinker with it all the time, but get to the place where you can say, okay, this is it, now I'm going to pay attention to music. And if your right hand method is not working, if you just have to change one more time, I'll show you the way I do it sometime if you want to afterwards. I rest my hand on the bridge and hold the pick this way, and I use the rounded corner of the pick because it's a little sweeter sound on the unwound strings. And I've had that actually work about 80% of the time for people who needed to change. But if you don't need to change, leave your style alone and realize that how you hold the pick is not going to solve anything in particular. It's more those problems of getting things clean and fast and tonally like we want them to be as a more of a decision about I'm going to stay with it until it's that way than it is a particular technique of holding the pick. Another question? Yes, sir. Well, I think on six-string guitars these days, if you were going to buy a 12-string guitar, I'd say, as far as I know, the Taylor 12-string guitars are the only game for it. There are some other makers that make 12-strings, and good makers too, but nobody's 12-string sounds like Taylor's. Ask Leo Kottke or some of those guys. But with six strings, it's not quite that simple. I play a Taylor guitar, and This is the Dan Curry model, which I really did help design. A lot of my opinions and ideas went into this guitar, and I went through a whole bunch of revisions, and we tried 6 or 8 different neck angles, we tried different bridges, wood. It was agonizing for several months. So I do have some of my opinions about the guitar sound poured into this. But I will also say that Taylor is one of about 5 or 6 makers that you ought to look at. Another one of those is Martin, obviously. Another maker would be Larrivee, Collins, Santa Cruz. And, you know, there are half a dozen or a little more major, serious, heavy-hitting guitar makers today who make guitars that are all in that top echelon of these are great guitars. And once you're in that echelon, it's no longer a question of which is the better guitar, it's a question of which sound and sort of approach to guitar sound do you like best. Now, one thing I will say is, you may wind up wanting a scallop brace guitar, but you may not. So one thing I would say to people is don't assume that because a scallop brace guitar sounds bassy and rich in your lap, but that's the instrument that you want, because a scallop brace guitar sounds great in your lap, and it may be a problem for you trying to mic it. So if you play guitars over microphones, and that's the main application that you have for it, you might want to look at a guitar like this one that was invented to be a microphone guitar. It has more treble overtones throughout the bass. It has a rich bass, I think. Sound good over a stage. I have a mic in the guitar now, but it was designed for this. And a more balanced sound sometimes works better over a mic. A really deeply scalloped brace guitar, if you put the hole right up over your average stage dynamic microphone, it throws the element of that thing into a petit mal seizure, and it's like World War III that comes out of the speakers, you know. So I'd say do a lot of comparison shopping and figure out where you're going to use this guitar the most, and then if it's in front of a stage microphone, then go to a store that's got a PA system set up and do your comparison in front of that. Because a lot of times we sit there, oh, this really sounds wonderful, and we take it home, and then we actually play in some other kind of setting. Just like you have to, if you're going to perform standing up, then I'm sorry, you better practice standing up. If you practice sitting down and play standing up, I do it too. It's a terrible thing to do for yourself. But make a careful comparison. Do it with the same age of strings on it. You know, some guitars sound terrible because the strings are bad. Invest in some strings. Change some strings. Compare the guitars side by side as much as you can. Talk to people who own these guitars and try them in the application where you're actually going to try them. Did you want to get in on that answer?
Oh, about new guitars? You're a beginning player?
Not a player.
Oh, well then I agree with him. If you're starting off, get a cheap one. And find out, you know, if you like it. It's to anyone who just wants to know if they want to play a guitar. Don't buy a $4,000 guitar.
I think that I agree with that, but also make sure that it doesn't sound terrible. Because a lot of people are discouraged by bad guitars. And make sure that the action is set up right on it. If you bought a $200 guitar, spend another $90 having it set up.
They still make Blue Ridge guitars?
I don't know.
That was, you know, an Asian-made guitar that was inexpensive and it works. You know, it's not fantastic, but it works. It's a tune.
Okay, another question.
Jody?
Yeah. Okay, when I'm playing in a duet, I suppose I do less of that because the other guitar is holding it down. But I play a lot of fiddle type tunes solo, and that maybe I just demonstrate, play a solo. I play drones, partial chords, and I change the timbre by attacking the string closer or further from the bridge, which gives it a lot of color. I hold certain notes, let them ring, and cut others short. and all that gives it